Like we mentioned, the Leafs are in St. Louis taking on the Blues tomorrow night. And the Blues, they've been having a really good season. And at home recently, they're you can't get them. Like they're 15-3-2 at home this season. So the Leafs are rolling in. The Leafs have been playing pretty well. And it should be a fun game tomorrow night. And here is the GM of the St. Louis Blues. And he was going to be the architect of Team Canada if the NHL was going to the Olympics. Here's Doug Armstrong. How you doing, Doug?
Very good, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We're doing very well. Take us through your team and why it's working so well at home. Everyone's buzzing about your home ice and what the Leafs are going to run into tomorrow night. Why have you guys been so comfortable and so successful at home recently?
Well, we've actually just been finding ways to win games. We've came back and scored a couple of goals in the last minute against Dallas. So, you know, when things are going well, they're going well, and you just ride it all the way, that wave all the way into the shore. And, you know, we're a resilient group. We find ways to win. Craig and I were talking about it last night. You know, we've won a couple 2-1 games, and we won some 5-4 ones. So they're finding ways to manufacture goals when needed or keep the puck out of the net. So it's been a good run, and, you know, we're going to try and keep it going against the Leafs.
Doug, I first put eyes on Kyrou at the World Juniors in Buffalo, and I thought to myself, wasn't kind of like one of the bigger names, but I thought, man, this guy's got some size, he can skate, and he's got some hands. How fun has it been to watch his development and turn into the player? I know sometimes it must be scary when you have a young prospect, you don't know what it's ultimately going to turn into, but how fun has it been to watch his progression, because he's dynamite right now.
Yeah, he's been a real good player for us. Really, we got him in the early second round, and then he went back to Sarnia, played very well, had a really great junior career. And then when he turned pro, we actually got injured that first year and sort of set him back a little bit. And, you know, the guys at that age, they want to get to the NHL as quick as possible. I think that he did make the best of his time in the American Hockey League, because, you know, learning other aspects of the game that he wasn't as proficient at, defending and wall play. And then I thought Craig's done a good job bringing him along right now, and he really looks like he's just at the start of what could be a really solid career. He's a great skater. He's got great hands in tight, and he can really shoot the puck too, which are all great traits if you want to be a scoring player.
Doug, the key for a guy like Tarasenko having the season that he's having right now, has it just been, you know, a healthy Tarasenko and just feeling good about his game?
I think so. That shoulder surgery that he had a couple of different times seems to be doing very well. And his strength is back, his shot's back. His conditioning is at a top level. As you guys know, when you watch him, he's got such great power down low. He's got a really, really strong base, and he just can fend guys off and can beat guys just with his leg strength, and his shooting is back. So he's just he's the player that he was before the injuries, and we're very fortunate that he's having this type of year. He's battling COVID right now, like so many players in the NHL, but we really miss him. Obviously, as I said, we've scored two goals the last couple of games and won, and he's out when we're scoring two goals. So if we want to get back to 3 or 4, we need to get him back in there as quick as possible.
How did you massage that relationship, Doug? We don't need to get into the specifics of his happiness in St. Louis or what the dynamic was, but it seems to you've taken strides, and he seems to be playing for you guys and playing well. How did you kind of get things to where they're at now with Tarasenko?
Yeah, as you guys know, as former players, I think that there's probably more players that might think that the grass is greener and ask for trades. Probably 2 or 3 a year, maybe even more on teams that you guys have been on, that I've been around, and usually it just stays quiet. This one seemed to get out, and because it was a star player and a marquee player, it sort of grabbed a life of its own. But I think he handled it. He handled it great. He, you know, whatever reason that he thought the grass might be greener, I said that if we can find something that works for everybody, we'll do it. And if not, just prepare to come back to play. And he said that sounded fair. And he worked hard all summer, was the first guy back here in training camp. And I think, as you guys know, the players accept that. They want to win, and they'll accept anyone that gives them an opportunity to win that's a good guy. And glad he checked both those boxes. He's a great player and a really good guy. And, you know, it's the rest is history. He's having a great season, and we're really happy it's here in St. Louis.
With Doug Armstrong, GM of the Blues. The Leafs are in St. Louis taking on the Blues tomorrow night. It doesn't seem as if there was any acrimony necessarily in terms of the exit of Alex Pietrangelo, but he was such a great player for you guys, became a free agent. He walked. He goes to Vegas. And the hockey world was wondering, how does St. Louis respond here, considering he was your captain, he was such a great player and remains a great player, but clearly you guys have moved on without him. And you're still a very competitive team in the Central Division. How did this come to be, like, in terms of a team effort? Was it individuals, coaching, goaltending, stepping up? Because it's such a big void, yet, as I pointed out, you guys have kind of rolled on without him.
I think that's probably the blueprint of our organization over the last 10 or 12 years. It's we rely on sort of a pack mentality. Alex is a great player, was a great player for us, and unfortunately, it didn't work out at the end for him, but we had a lot of players who were willing to step up. We brought in Falk, we brought in Krug, O'Reilly's here. So, you know, we don't have that quote unquote superstar player that commands a large part of our salary cap. And so what we try and do is we have a lot of rich players, I guess. and I think everybody's happy that way too. As I said, we don't have the, you know, we haven't drafted in that area where you're getting, you know, first, second, third overall picks that are superstar status. So we do it sort of by committee, and that allows us to fill holes. And you know, I give the credit to where it has to go. It's all the players. The players buy in and they support each other and hold each other accountable and help each other out when things aren't going great. And it's worked for us, that type of structure.
Doug, when the Olympics were, I guess, when it was decided that the Olympics weren't going to have NHL players, obviously us in the media and the fans have constructed many teams of how it was going to look like. Did you think, just for a little fun, you would maybe release what the team was going to look like in your mind?
Do it now, Doug. Do it now. give us the list.
But, I mean,
well... But yeah, I thought about it and I realized, you know what, I'm just going to say that everybody was on the long list was going to make the team. I don't need to make, I make enemies easy enough. I don't need to go out looking for it. So I'll keep it like that. No, it was going to be a lot of fun. Obviously, in reality, we had our last meeting in early December, and we had 10 forwards that we call locks. We had four defense and locks. The interesting part, Noodles, was going to be the goalies. Carey was just coming back, and we had a brief conversation with him. Just if you're up and running, would you have interest? And he said, if I'm up and running, I would have interest. So that gave us some hope there. And we were looking at the other players, whether it's a Hart or a Binnington or a Kemper. There's a list of guys we were looking at, and all those goalies had real bright flashes of play, and it was going to be an interesting dynamic on when we had to pick that team I think it was going to be the 12th of January, that who was playing the best at that time and where was Carey at. So that would have been the one thing I think would have gained a lot of folks and a lot of attention. And unfortunately, we do, you know, and I do say unfortunately, we didn't have to make that decision. It would have been a lot of fun. I know the players that, we had that leadership group that we talked to of McDavid, Pietrangelo, and Crosby, and they were excellent through the whole process of you know, allowing us to share our thoughts with them and communicating that with the players. And I think everyone's really disappointed. We certainly understand why we're not going, but it's still very disappointing.
When you're putting together that list, you've got the pick of the litter. I mean, Canada's got more high-end talent and more depth than any country in the world. How much of a tunnel are you in? In other words, is it just simply looking at your own guys and saying, we're just going to put together the best team and no one else can touch us? Or did you allow yourself to consider what the Americans might build as a team, what the Russians might bring, what the Swedes might bring? Were you thinking in that frame of mind in terms of countering what other countries might bring to a competition?
Yeah, I would say we didn't have, and I know you didn't mean like that, the arrogance that no one can touch us. There's a lot of great players in the world, and I think the difference is the depth of the Canadian hockey player. We could probably put two teams together that could compete for medals, but all like obviously Finland, Russia, Sweden, America can put one team together that can compete for a medal too. So the top end talent's not that different. But when we were putting our team together, the one thing that that we went back to earlier was on the goaltending. We've been able to, Hockey Canada has been able to rely on whether it was Brodeur, then to Luongo, then to Price. There's been so many great goalies over the years there, going back to Grant Fuhr 100 years ago, like that. This was the first time, if Kerry wasn't available, that there was going to be a question mark on who was going to be that guy. And so that were we going to have to probably score more than we have in the past? I don't know. That's one thing we talked a little bit about. But we were trying to put the team together using our experiences from Steve Yzerman's group in 10 and 14 on, you want to have the best players. We wanted to play fast. We wanted to have great thinkers. But we also wanted to make sure we had guys that could fill every element of a game, whether it's a penalty killer, a face-off on each dot at the end of games, who could close out games, and make sure that we had the proper character players. Because when I went back and I looked at the ice time in the medal round, and players that are usually playing 18 minutes or 22 minutes as defensemen, they were getting 8-9 minutes, some of these guys. And you have to have guys that are willing to accept that and understand that being part of something bigger. And so it's just putting all the pieces in play together that make a team and not just a bunch of great individuals.
Well, it's obviously disappointing for everyone involved, clearly yourself included, and hopefully we get another kick at the can in 4 years or at some point between that for best on best internationally. But the NHL will continue to roll on, and you guys are in a good spot down in St. Louis. We look forward to watching the game tomorrow night. Best of luck against the Leafs and continued success in the future. Thank you, Doug.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
You got it. There's Doug Armstrong, the GM of the Blues. I'm wondering, maybe we should have asked him this. I'm just thinking about it on the fly. If anyone would call him and ask,
did I make the team?
Did I make the team? Yeah, just out of curiosity. Like, what about his own guys? Would Binnington be like, hey, were you going to put me on? Like, I'm wondering, would you put me on?
Well, can also, Mike, he's got a built-in reason to lie and say, of course you were on.
Of course
you were
on. Exactly.
Why would you want to burn the bridge if it's not going to happen?
Exactly. I mean, I brought it up tongue-in-cheek, but I mean, how many times have we debated on this show or just TSN.ca or anywhere, everyone on Twitter, that the lists and who should be on and who shouldn't, and this is what I'm hearing, and insiders are saying that. Like, it would have been, I know it would have been counterproductive, but I think it would have been neat to at least announce the team stuff.
I totally agree. Dude, it would be, TSN would do 24 hours of coverage on a team that never plays.
Yeah.
Like a phantom Team Canada team. We'd be all over it. Breaking news coming in here. Ryan O'Reilly's made the team. That's actually not a team because they're not going, but he's on it. Zach Hyman, 13th forward. Wow, breaking news. We go to Edmonton now. Here's Zach. What do you make of it? You made the team, even though it's not a team and you're not actually going to play.
Your thoughts. It is kind of cool. I wish we knew.
I wish we had an answer for it.
It would be neat. I mean, that's going to be, but it's all be hearsay now. It's unfortunate, but.
That's where you got to be careful, man, and not have some beers with some people in hockey being like, oh, that guy had no chance. And then an agent gets a call.
Exactly.
Your phone will be ringing off the hook, man.
Yeah.
Because people will still. Even if it was just kind of hearsay where somebody like a Mitch Marner or a Binnington and it was like floating around, or just like I said, just casual conversation, and the narrative was, no, that guy wasn't making it, and that gets back to the player, even like people will freak out, man. People freak out over that stuff.
Well, he said that they had 10 forwards that were locks and 4 defensemen. Do you want to take a crack at how about the 4 defensemen? Who were the locks? Pietrangelo was already on it.
I think
Theodore was probably going to be there. That's 3. Who's the fourth lock?
Pareko? No?
I don't know if he's a lock.
It's his backyard. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just thinking out loud here, like locks.
Yeah. I think of a
left-handed lock, because they probably had...
Morgan Riley had a good year. Nurse would be a guy that would be...
It was maybe one of those two where they said, let's get 4D, 2 left, 2 right, that are locks right now.
Yeah. I don't know. But, I mean, that's... I don't have that short or long list in front of me, but I mean they had a ton of riches. Like Morrissey was another guy, Nurse, Riley. Those are the guys I think that were on the radar. But there was also Pelech for the Islanders. There was
Taves?
Yeah, Taves in Colorado, I believe. Yeah. There was a few guys like that that we...
Like, I don't think Doughty would be Lock anymore.
Doughty's a lock. Joe from the Bridge says Doughty's a lock.
Hamilton, was Dougie Hamilton a lock?
No.
I don't think he was a lock.
He might be. But that's the thing. It'd be interesting to see. Again, we're getting into the debate again. Like, you know, the guy that controlled that list, we had him on the phone, and obviously he wasn't going to give it to us. But that's... It's just great to think about. It's sad that they're not going to be able to go, and we'll never know the team. You know, because even the people that I know in that circle, they would never tell me. Like, I think those guys are sworn to secrecy. I really do.
Yeah.
Like, why would you? You know,
no,
like you
it's said, in the best oh, you get, to
yeah, you get somebody that's, you know, has a couple beers and go, yeah, that guy wasn't going to make it. You know, it gets out. Mm-hmm. So they have to be mindful of that.
Well, and there's a comparison to the All-Star game in terms of, you know, a snapshot in the moment, how you're playing at this time. Like, we referenced the Nazem Kadri. This is it for Naz. Like, we all love Nazem Kadri as a player. I love him, and we've had him on the show, and we're supporters of Nazem. This is his career year. This is it.
Right.
This isn't happening again. With all due respect, I just don't see him being fourth in scoring 40 games into the season ever again.
He might be on a different team next year.
But the thing, too, with him is he had the opportunity because of the McKinnon injury and COVID. Like, he was playing first. Like, you're right. This is the career year. Even if he stays with Colorado, he's not getting the critical minutes that – you know,
yeah, but he's still putting up numbers, Noodles.
I understand that, but I'm saying, you know, I don't think he's going to be a 95-point guy every year. This is a year where everything he's touching, he's having a season. People writing in Ekblad, I was a guy.
Ekblad's had a great year.
That was a great
Ekblad could pick, be the guy. Yeah. Ekblad's, he was on that team for sure.
Exactly.
The way he's been playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the forwards, like, I'm finding stuff on the fly here. Huberto Lock, McDavid Lock, McKinnon Lock, Sid Lock, Marchand Lock. I think Bergeron's still Lock, right? That's six.
Yeah. Point?
Point seven. I think Stone would be eight. I think Stone's on that team.
Yeah.
Is Marner a Lock? I don't know. I mean, they said they had 10 Locks.
Yeah.
I don't know if Marner's a Lock. I don't know. Like, I would think Stamkos, the way he's been playing himself into a Lock.
It's difficult because there was a comment floated out saying there's some star players that think they're on this team and they're not because I'm going a different – so that kind of threw everything off. So who knows?
I think O'Reilly would be a Lock also because Doug Armstrong's the GM. Although and O'Reilly would be worthy of, like, a fourth-line guy that could do exactly what he just said. Last minute, big draw on the left side, he's taking it, right? That's the guy you want on the ice. So that's eight or nine, and then I guess you'd have to
figure
out
what
the rest would be.
You know what just stood out for me, though, with what he said? Because he didn't give us, obviously, much insight into it because he couldn't. But January 12th, like, they would have had to submit the list. Like, it just passed 2 days ago.
Yeah,
like,
that's right.
And where was Carey Price at that time? Well, Carey Price isn't...
He's not playing.
Like, so it's just interesting. Like,
so who are your three goalies then? If they were going, well,
Bennington is in there. I think, you know, Bennington is for sure. I think Fleury's still. I mean, man, Chicago's had a tough year, and Fleury's been, you know, still putting up some wins there and hanging them in games. Then he mentioned Kemper, Darcy Kemper, who's in Colorado. Who I haven't loved his game, to be honest. I think he's a
He's been terrible, man.
Well, he's been injured, and then that's the problem. He's been injured and hasn't been really consistent there. I'm drawing a blank on a few others.
Well, I mean, there's the names that were coming up leading up to it were Holpe's clearly not going to be a guy. Carter Hart. Philly's struggling, man, and he's
Hart and Holpe. Holpe's been good in Dallas, but Hart has struggled, and
Tristan Jarry's come up.
Jarry's another guy. Who's made the All-Star team and obviously playing very well. Mm-hmm. But I think you'd be looking at Bennington and Fleury who was going to play. Exactly.
Yeah. You know? That's interesting that they had talked about it. Like, we might need some more goals this time. Like, it might not be a 2-1 final in the gold medal game. We might need to be thinking, can we win 4-3 or 5-4?
Well, that changes your – you know, the remember, I don't even know how it got out there. It was like, God, Tom Wilson could potentially be there. He's on the long list as opposed to, you know, if he makes it over Mitch Marner. Well, if you're going for points, it's Mitch Marner. It's
and
be.
Who
Mitch,
thinks
right?
like that, Hayes? Who oh, thinks wow. having Crosby, McDavid, Nathan MacKinnon, Braden Point, and all those characters that you might need an extra goal? Like, give me a break.
Well,
that's just tossing around too many damn ideas. Like,
yeah,
give me a
you'll probably,
break.
If you need one, you'll probably get it with those
yeah,
goals.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Chances are.